Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome back to Cultivating Collaboration and Advantage. Hey, Mark, good to see you again.
Hey, great to see you too, Sean. It's been a long time.
Awesome. So we are in our second segment, second episode of Cultivating Collaboration and Advantage. The format is, as we discussed, is we always bring one of our members and do a one-on-one interview, trying to, number one, give our members exposure, also understand their skills, what they offer others on our platform and in their business, and you know what they like about collaboration and what's that mindset. So that's the essence of our podcast / live show.
Yeah, it's very exciting. And I know what you're going to be introducing our first guest here in a moment. And I just remember the first time I had a conversation with her. We had about 30 minutes, I think, booked. And I think it ended up turning into an hour and a half or 2 hour call. So it's going to be tough for us to keep on schedule here. But she's got a lot of great stuff to say.
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. Welcome, Lindsay.
Thanks for having me.
Good to see you. Awesome.
Nice to be here.
So, Lindsay, you and I, you've been one of our members, I believe, maybe nearly almost a year now?
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken.
Scotch over a year, because we met at a freelancers conference online.
That's right.
When the pandemic first started.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It was right around this time.
Yeah.
This pandemic has, it's been terrible even in a lot of senses, but in some senses, really has been great because I got to meet a lot of people. It expanded. Mm-hmm. So welcome. Welcome to our community.
Thanks for having me.
Welcome to our show. So just to kind of give a little brief background, Lindsay, your first career, and I learned that recently about you many moons ago, you were a mimic singer.
Yes.
And due to a vocal injury, you ended up being system service and process design and eventually human-centered design, which is your passion.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Tell us how that happened and how you got started.
When I was a kid, people thought they were hearing the radio and really it was me. My mom, ironically, was a sound technician. And it was also at a time when women weren't expected to be. So I was already kind of given a lot of entree into like, hey, anyone can be anything they want to be. There's ways that you can get into whatever you want to do. And I loved singing. I was really good at it. I was taken to, Star Search when I was a kid. And they're like, we can't take you on because you don't have your own sound. But they talked with my mom. And the next thing I know, I'm recording for different songwriters who didn't want to lose their songs to the popular artists of the day.
Wow.
And it worked out for me because I got to be, frankly, a preteen making a lot of money and not knowing I was making a lot of money, but got to like sing these cool songs that I'm learning and finding out about things. But because I was a preteen, because my family didn't really understand how to train the voice and maintain the voice as an instrument, I managed to rupture my vocal cords and they had to be sutured back together. So I had about a year where I couldn't talk.
Wow.
And even now I can kind of sing. But for those who are singers, they realize like there's a difference between actually using your vocal cords as an instrument and just letting the air go through that happens to sound like a vocal sing. Mm-hmm. When I truly sing, I end up with these weird pains on this side of my body because I actually tore this side of the right side of my, it's all kinds of fun. But I had that entire year of just observing the doctors working with me. Mm-hmm. Like I'd walk into a doctor's office and get screamed at. Okay, in the moment, I'm just thinking, okay, wait a minute, I'm your patient and this is how you're starting to talk with me. I came in, you asked me for my ID, you asked me for my insurance, and now you're yelling at me. Well, it took me a couple months to realize their perception was anyone who came in the door, and this was back in like the early 2000s, if you walked in the door at a medical practice and couldn't speak, you were most likely deaf. So they were treating me like I was deaf. And for some reason, people even still to this day have this preconception, if you're deaf and I just talk louder at you, you will be able to understand it. No, that's not the way it works. There's actual sign language you need to use. You can technically use enunciation, but if you can use enunciation, that also means they can hear. So there was all of these preconceptions that even the front office staff had with me. And then the doctors, some doctors would leave and then I'd hear the nurse explain to them, it's like, no, she's here because she can't talk. So she's not answering your questions because she can't talk. And then some of the doctors who would work with me, it would be upwards of 17 minutes just to get the exam or to get the kind of scope that they wanted done on me. And I'm sitting there like, okay, no wonder I've had such a bad experience as a patient. You as a physician are jumping through hoops, and yet you're the guy who's hopefully going to get me to talk. Ultimately, I found myself working with nearly a dozen experts. So obviously I got my voice back. I am so grateful for that. But since I had that year of going through that process, I didn't know what I was doing, but I naturally just went back to a lot of them and said, hey, I'd love to work with you on making sure that your work life is better, on your experiences, on the processes that you go through as a physician, as a practitioner is better. Because I know by extension, that'll make your nurse's life better and my life as a patient better and your other patients' lives better. I'd love to work with you on that. Can we? And gratefully, most of them took me up on that. It was only one or two who didn't. And the next thing I know, I'm working on service design, not knowing it's service design. And then I discover, oh, that's what this is called. And then I'm working on process and business analysis and all of this stuff. And it's like, oh, that's what I'm doing. And then I discovered that I met some people in the UK and found out they were doing this stuff called UX. And that wasn't really happening here in the States yet. And I got training through them. And then the next thing I know, oh, UX and CX are a thing. Well, wait, they're the same thing. Well, no, they're not. And then it's like, wait, there's HX. And it's like, okay, wait, how many acronyms do we have? We have more acronyms than anything. Basically, it's a field that's been around since about the 1940s, 1950s. And yet everyone, every decade is like, there's this new thing. So yeah, I just kind of stumbled into this career field and I've been loving it ever since.
That's amazing. So you took a bad experience going through doctors. And then you turn it into an opportunity and try to take charge and make the world fix at least what you could fix. That's awesome. We'll get into it as far as what is all those acronyms you're talking about. CX and UX and UI and all of that. And you've been working with us on some of that as well. Maybe kind of walk through our audience a little bit kind of on the fundamentals of what is a CX versus UX. And then we'll get into what you and I worked on and then what you worked with Mark. So kind of educate us a little bit.
So my favorite quick like intro elevator pitch around any of that is, hey, are you familiar with anything in the culinary industry? Do you know any chefs? Do you know anyone who cooks? Well, that's kind of what design is. Everyone cooks, everyone designs. It's just what kind of skills have you developed as a designer? Have you become a pastry chef? Have you become an experienced person with, say, a sous vide or anything else? What skills have you developed in your cooking? Have you elevated to that level? It's the same with design. What kind of skills have you really developed for yourself? And that could be anybody. People like me, we've made that our entire career. But other people like Sean, like yourself, like Mark, you guys already use design in one way or another, but it's not necessarily that you're complete designers. No, you've developed your own specialty skills. So there are terms out there like user experience. User experience has been around since about the 80s at this point. Really, that was a pivot from Walt Disney's every time I go to use this word, I forget it. But it was like something about engineering and wanting to Imagineers, wanting those Imagineers to actually go out and spend some time in the different shops or in the different locations and see what it was like for customers to come through and actually see what it was like to go on the rides, to shop in the stores, to come through and be someone experiencing Disneyland, Disney World, all of those as they were being built. Eventually, companies bought onto that and then they kind of moved into this terminology of customer experience. Well, that's still user experience. It's just the new term for it. There was also these terms coming out about man-human engineering or man-machine engineering. And then, so there have been a lot of different acronyms out there for it right now. The popular ones being CX for customer experience and UX for user experience. User experience nowadays seems to really mean product experience, typically digital, but also physical. So kind of like the microphones that we're using right now, the fact that there's a handheld switch, is it someone that if someone who is maybe with cerebral palsy or maybe doesn't have true grip strength, can they operate it? If not, could someone else operate it for them? How smooth does it glide? Does it need a kind of grip? Does it not? Does it need any texture? Does it not? That is the kind of UX world you get into. But the CX world is, how do you market this? How do you get people to even understand that they want to buy this? How do you get people to understand this is a product that would be of value to them? And that also gets into the world of marketing. So it's all this kind of basically talking about how a group of chefs work together. You have your executive chef who makes everything work. And frankly, that's your CEO. That's the person who's saying, this is the kind of restaurant we are. These are the kind of things that we're doing.
Right.
And it goes through that whole process. And so that's what I do now. I come in as that short-term executive chef, and I help people understand this is your restaurant. You meant to be a Mexican shop, but you're also doing Italian. You're also doing sushi. So if you're going to keep doing them, here's how you can fold them back into your business. Here's how you can run them forward. And I love working with startups like Avantage because it's you can get in the ground running, which means they can learn from all of those lessons, not only from their own company, but other companies. And someone like me can come in and introduce you to what those were and help you build the frameworks around so it's stronger for you as you move forward.
Yeah, one of the things that I know as I listened to your presentation on Avantage that one Friday that you were presented, then I was like, let's meet up.
Yeah.
And then we had a chance to really talk. And I love your, and that was one of the things that you and I connected on was the holistic perspective, because you're saying,
yes,
hey, this is the UX, this is the CX, and it ultimately works into marketing. And
yes,
so all of those things. So what do you see, because I know you touched on this a little bit inside of your presentation, but what are some of those things where businesses and what are those elements that some just kind of overlook, and they're not connecting some of those dots. And I know that in and of itself could be a whole hour long presentation.
It really could.
But sorry to put you on the spot there.
No, you're fine.
But like what, you know, just because I really appreciated how you were talking about some of the statistics.
Yeah.
And so that was really one of the things is because there's so much information that you have as you've been studying this. And I didn't realize that story about you singing and then it's beautiful how people have a chance to come into their business and
yes,
what they really ultimately end up thriving with. So, all right, back to the question, I guess.
So what I found, because I've been very fortunate in my career where I've gotten to work with large companies and small companies. I've gotten to work adjacent to top 500 companies, top 500 consultancies, and even adjacent to the top four, what I think it's called tier two or tier one or something like that. So I've gotten to see how a Deloitte works. I've gotten to see how a McKesson works. And a lot of what they do is really talking about the foundations of design and bringing design as a practice. That's why I again liken it to culinary. Like, did you ever learn how to boil water? Okay, well, guess what? You learned how to draw a square. You learned how to draw a circle. You learned how to start. I see that a lot of companies, like, and this is again why I like to liken it back to the idea of either building a house or really having that kind of cooking staff, like you have an entire group who's in charge of making sure you get your plates out on time, that you get your products out on time, that you get these things done. They need to work as a cohesive system. They need to be given ways of being that cohesive system. Now, what I've seen larger companies consistently have problems with is silos. They don't have that cohesive system. Their marketing department might outright not want to talk with any other department. Their reasoning for that could be completely justified, could be completely made up, who knows? But there's things that marketing learns that product would be highly influenced by, well-informed by. There's things that sales and marketing learns that the people who are building the product, developing the product, could use that depth of empathy, could use that depth of context. But for one reason or another, those silos get built up, those walls get built up. And that's what we do as human beings. Like, oh, you burnt me. I'm not going to go talk to you now. It's like, well, guess what? If you want a relationship, if you want a company, if you want any of that to work, you've got to have communication. You have got to allow processes to make that happen. And if, say, you've got a sous chef and a pastry chef who hate each other, but guess what? They are both delivering the same expectation, the same expected experience with your restaurant, you need to give them a way to understand that they have to have the same skills, they have to have a lot of the same abilities, and they have to have access to a lot of the same stuff. And people like me, and I know even process like Mark that you take people through, we wake people up to that. And what I really believe is, like, folks like yourself, as you introduce people to tools like I know you guys talked about in the first segment of the strategy sessions and the mind mapping that you take people through, I use tools like mind mapping in a very similar way. But oftentimes what I do is I also tie it into empathy, where I extrapolate it out to, okay, wait a minute. If it's your marketing department who learns the most and maybe your customer support who also learns these things, you can use your Salesforce tool and you can incorporate all of that data in. You can do it in this kind of a story way, so that way these other departments can understand. And then the secondary department that you have over here, maybe it could frankly even be, I don't know, your in-person customer support staff who actually goes on site and helps install. They can help backfill with any of that other data. And I help companies understand how to create those maps, which is the secondary reflection of the kind of maps that you do, and it helps turn it into hardware. But oftentimes, I also find that I have to, kind of like an executive chef, teach people, okay, just because you think all I am is about knives and making sure that your meat was served correctly, there's so much more of that than I can do. I can help you ensure that the plates you're serving on are the right kind of plates for the kind of food that you want to actually make sure you're delivering, that it's warm on the table while they're eating it. It's really, and that's kind of even where this new, I say in quotes, term of HX is coming from, human experience. And people like me are loving that people are adopting human experience, because it not only gets into that wholer, more holistic viewpoint, but it also ties into, and I loved hearing in the first segment that Sean, you're also into a lot of like, how can we support the whole fuller ecosystem of everything? Because the UN has 17 different functions that they're looking to achieve. And HX gets back to the point that, hey, this is a global thing. This is not just you. It's your company, but it's your impact there out.
Right.
And UX back in the day was really trying to teach companies about this. And CX, some companies have this, some companies don't, where, okay, it's how people get to your company and get back out of it. It's that whole flow. And maybe it's even how what you build, what you do impacts, whether you know it impacts or not. And acknowledging under that, learning all of that. And there are so many brilliant people on solutions like Avantage that help people understand that, help people learn into that. And I know I myself am using Advantage to actually launch my business. In fact, this is the first time I've been a personal consultant in over a decade. So I found myself sitting there like, what do I do now? It's been so long. I haven't done it for myself. So finding this community, that's what I did.
And that's really one of the things that I shared with our community, and mm-hmm. one of our community calls is for us to find talents like you, on which normally they're available to Fortune 500 companies mm-hmm. and people with huge budgets, on a small platform for us little small business owners, available and mm-hmm. accessible. This was my vision, to provide that access to opportunities where it creates a level playing field. Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing that you and I have discussed and talked about is the whole customer or experience and the journey.
Yes.
And I think the human experience you're talking about is that D-1 to D-100, even before they show up to your product, your service, your mm-hmm. platform, what have empathy with that, where they come from, and mm-hmm. how we fit in their journey. That's the strength that you have helped us hone in and figure out, and we're still working on it. Mm-hmm. But it's that the journey, you know, part of being a startup and any business, a lot of patchwork are done, right? Because,
yeah.
you know, we find problems and put a fix here and mm-hmm. put a fix there. And that cohesiveness is at some point disappears. And I think that's true about startups, and that's true about big, large organizations
yeah.
where they have multi-departments, and which is what you're referring to. But I think what you do when you come in, you kind of try to connect that whole thing as a journey where the customer or that human is at the center of it.
Yeah.
Before they show up, when they sign up specific to our platform, mm-hmm. how they onboard, how they interact, and then 100 days later, you know, how are they being engaged?
Yep.
And I think that's the value that we're lucky and thrilled to have you on our platform and have that. But also that's something that you can offer to a lot of the startups in the
yeah.
Valley here. A lot of I know Mac 6 is a hot spot for startups and a lot of technology companies. So your services is something that I think every startup and every business can now have access to and be available. This is what I love about our community and our platform, meeting people like you and have so much talent in one
Thank
place.
You.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's just great to hear the background mm-hmm. of what you bring and the importance of that. So yeah, when you and I met the first time and then we had a follow-up meeting and then
yeah.
a follow-up meeting. And again, mm-hmm. what you consistently hear inside of it all too is this idea and wanting to serve more people in a way to help
yeah.
better the experience. Because what I heard you even sharing in your initial story was you spent a year going to all these different doctors
mm-hmm.
and you kept on seeing a very similar situation.
Mm-hmm.
This is, you know, again, I talk so much about like deeply listening. That was you deeply listening mm-hmm. to all of those things. And then you being able to go back and of all of the people that you had a chance, all the doctors you had a chance to see, all but two said, yes, we need your help. And so I think there's a lot more need. And it's also, though, how do you tie that? Because there's a lot of the holistic side to it. And then it's also like, how do you tie that to the bottom line? And it's so integral. Amazon has done an amazing job, right? With, I mean, they have looked at UX in a lot of different ways to get, and you're laughing there. So I'm curious to see, because I mean, like, they're one click button, right? And I'm looking at it more from that perspective, right? From the customer experience, they just want to make it super simple.
Yeah.
So they, you kind of hear those types of experiences.
Yeah.
And then as we're talking about the local businesses, like you being able to offer up some of those services, that is where you start to get that type of experience. Yes. In a small business.
Yeah.
Right. I think that applies to every sector. You know, Apple is actually probably one of the trendsetters and the people that created
they
that.
They were.
From opening the packages up. You know, packages used to be boxes and you just got them and there was nothing to it. And then Steve Jobs said the minute that, you know, lands in their hand, the whole experience of opening up a product, which is now it's the biggest thing on social media, started with them.
Yeah.
And so that they're the trendsetter. But now, even in local businesses, you know, Fire Pie Pizza is one of our members. He's on the platform, Fred. You get the same thing. You get the same sense. You walk into the restaurant. It's clean. It's modern. You have a lot of choices. Mm-hmm. It's healthy. So they do that from their branding all the way when you walk in, all the way when the waits serve, the pizza is served, and the entire thing. So I think what you offer is a global thing. It applies in every aspect of life. And the businesses that do employ it and do it the right way, they will succeed, I think, in today's.
Yeah, my approach is all about the strategy, incorporating design at scale, incorporating design holistically, and by extension, then delivering the products and solutions against that in a way that can have a future trajectory. Another answer to the question before is what's something that I see a lot of companies maybe have stumble around is this idea of a North Star. It's like, it has to be a fixed North Star. And it's like, no, it's a North trajectory. It's a, you know, you want to go in that direction, but you should always be moving that star forward. But that doesn't necessarily mean you're moving that star forward in a way that people feel like it's unattainable. It's a way that people are energized to want to work with you to make that happen. And yes, companies like Apple were brilliant at that. Steve Jobs, frankly, had his board of directors tell him, hey, dude, you are not everything. You've got to figure out who else can work with you. And so it was him being shaken up where he hired Don Norman, who was the first ever UX title in the US of A, not abroad. They had him before, but he was the first one with that title. And he helped them come up with a lot of that design and understanding that, hey, we're supposed to do these sleek things. I think he started with Elisa, but don't quote me on that, where we've got all these slick tools that we're supposed to be introducing, but when they get it, it doesn't feel sleek. When they get it, it feels clunky. Like, oh my God, I've got to put together a how expensive puzzle. He really worked with them on making all of that happen. And Steve Jobs loved that. And he ran with a lot of that and he incorporated it throughout. And that did become almost like a footprint. But not all companies really look at that footprint means what? How do I tweak that process for my company? And how do I do so in a way that means I mean something to everything around?
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah. Kind of a question, follow-up question. So what can our community do for you? What I know you're in a kind of a pivoting stage.
Yeah.
You're looking to, you know, connect with the local startup companies. What can they do? And who are you looking to collaborate with? Kind of see how you're going to expand, build on your business.
Well, what Avantage has been able to do for me is help me get enough context down in my own head that I was able to get my website launched. And I've started launching my own company. I'm calling it Lean In. And leaning into design, leaning into strategy, leaning into actual HX, and getting that whole ecosystem built for an organization, whether it's through the government, whether it's private sector, what have you. There's other things that I'm trying to get into. I've got some drafts for myself, so I know I'm going to be reaching out to somebody for maybe video or photography and also writing through the platform. I don't feel like I'm ready right now. I've got to get some things primed for that. But I know once I do, there are people out there I can reach out to.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. You have some stored Avantage bucks that when you're ready,
I do.
You can use it on content writers and web developers and
yes.
whatever you need. So people can find you on leanindesign.com and also lindsaymcneil.com.
Yes.
Or on Avantage, you're at avantage.com/LindsayM. Those are the places you can find Lindsay's offers and her skills and talents. And it's a pleasure. Oh, you are offering a 30-minute free experience design consultation.
Yes.
Correct? For all the listeners.
Yes.
Jot it down, guys. leanindesign.com. I'm sure there's a form there they can fill out and to reach out to you.
And do they do that on your website? Or
they can reach out to me through my website, or they can reach out to me through Avantage.
Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Awesome. Anybody needs to reach out to Avantage, it's avantage.com, A-V-O-N-T-A-G.com. I'm going to give out my email address. It's Sean, S-E-A-N, at avantage.com. So it's been a pleasure.
Been another great show.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
Awesome.
Thank you so much. It was so great to hear your story and ultimately how it all came about. So
thank you
I love
so much
that.
For having
and
me.
I'm so appreciative of what you're offering.
I'm grateful to be here. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Lindsay.